Now recording.
Okay, then. Well, I am Commander Nurgle, that is Commander Lark Shadow, and this is episode 214 of Loose Screws Podcast. 18.
Very cute.
Nurgle, you there? You're breaking up, buddy.
Yeah.
We're not going to have this. We're not going to go through this with the internet issues this early.
No, we can't. We can't. So how's your weekend, buddy?
Interesting. Interesting. That's so, you know, of course, my wife and I coach an elementary archery team, and we had our tournament, the one we host this weekend. That wrapped up Saturday night, and we're both beat down tired. We had like 315 archers over 3 or 4 days. And
jeez Louise.
All the other stuff that goes with, you know, hosting an event like that with volunteers and food and merchandise. And yeah, it was tiring. But, you know, we only have to do that once a year. The rest of the year, somebody else is doing it. We're going to their tournaments.
Nice.
And that is the fundraiser for that team during the year. The money we make off that tournament is what funds us for the whole year. So,
oh dang,
it's kind of important that it goes right.
That big of a tournament, huh?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the way these things work. You know, all the archers pay to participate, and the school keeps almost all of that money. There's small things that we have to pay for, but that, you know, so
yeah,
all those archers paying $10 a piece is the money that funds all the supplies we need during the year and sending these kids to tournaments and all that other stuff. So
nice.
If we don't host...
Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, being the random gremlin that I am, I have to ask, has a shot ever gone so wrong that it hit someone else at the tournament?
No.
Oh, good.
No. We're very safety conscious about that. And there should never be an arrow loosed downrange. Actually, nobody should even be holding an arrow when there are people downrange. So there's a very specific sequence of events that things happen, and we don't even approach the arrows while people are at the other end of the target range. So no, that is, I won't say that's not going to happen, but if it happens, something has gone so wildly wrong that I can't imagine it.
That is great, because that means you guys are very, very safety conscious. And yeah, it's not a gun, but I mean, they used bows and arrows for a long time for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a bow and arrow. I mean, granted, they're little kids and it's a 20-pound bow, but yeah, it's still a bow and arrow, and you can still kill somebody with it if you're not careful with it. We tell the kids all the time, because there's whistle commands for when you get your bow, when you shoot, when you go pick up your arrows. And there's an emergency whistle command for everybody stop. And, you know, we tell the kids all the time that when you hear that command to stop, you stop in the middle of whatever you're doing. Even if you have an arrow knocked, you do not shoot it, because that's a signal that something has gone wrong and that it's not safe. And if we ever do happen to hit somebody else with an arrow, that's the end of the program.
Yep.
Because the school board will cancel it if somebody gets hurt. Excuse me.
I'm trolling then, Bork now, because I'm out here mining with them.
Oh, yeah, you're out at Mining Mondays. And then today I get to work, and I find out we have a dead bald eagle in one of our parks.
Yeah, so I saw a little bit about that in the Discord earlier. What's going on with that? What happened?
Well, there's no obvious signs of foul play. It's just a dead bird.
Foul.
Yeah, I got you.
Sorry.
It's just a dead bird in the park. The problem is, it's a bald eagle, and it's federally protected to prevent them from being exploited. And you can't just dispose of a bald eagle corpse. You can't just pick it up and haul it off. There are only certain people that are authorized to deal with a bald eagle.
Oh, see, that I didn't know.
Yeah,
I thought you could.
And it's not Department of the Interior. It's Federal Fish and Game.
Federal Fish and Game, yes.
Which is not the right term, but it's not coming to my head right now. Or they're designated people, which in my state, Alabama, is the Alabama Department of Natural Resources. I know this. I've been down this road before. So I'm literally sitting on the tailgate of my truck in the middle of a park looking at a dead bird as I start making phone calls. And this ends in one of two ways. Either they send a conservation officer who collects the corpse, and then there's a whole possible range of things that happens with it from there. There's labs it can go to. There's a Native American eagle bank where they give parts of the eagles back to Native American cultures that use them and nice. All that type of stuff. But so either they come and collect the corpse, or they instruct me to collect the corpse, and then they'll recover it from us. And after making about a dozen phone calls, I finally got the local office of Fish and Game and told them that, you know, I have a dead bald eagle. And they were like, I don't know what to do. Like, oh, this is a bad sign. It's a bad sign. I mean, literally the only thing I know.
So you told them about it and they were like, dot, dot, dot.
I'm thinking... Literally, the only thing I know about what Fish and Game does is about bald eagles, because it's come up before, and I had to research it, and now I'm calling them, and they don't know what they're supposed to do. So this is a bad sign.
Are you sure you aren't living in an episode of Parks and Rec, like Truman Show style?
I don't know. Some days I feel like I am, but it ended up. Yeah, you know, I'm telling this poor lady on the other end of the line, you know, what kind of has to happen. And of course she says, well, I can't authorize you to pick it up. Like, well, thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that beforehand, because I don't want to get in trouble. And to be fair, you know, if I did pick it up and throw it in a freezer and then get it to conservation tomorrow, the chances of anything bad happening are almost non-existent.
Oh, of course. But as a government representative, you have to follow it to the letter.
Well, but I don't want to take the chance.
Yeah, that too.
So I got a text message because I had left them my phone number, so I have to call me way this afternoon. And I got a text message about an hour ago from one of the conservation officers wanting better directions to exactly where the bird is. So I literally, you know, sending the GPS coordinates. So I'm assuming that they have some guy going out there, you know, at 7 o'clock tonight to pick up the poor bird. But that's, you know, I've been in this job for 4 years. That's the second time we've had a dead bald eagle.
Oh, geez.
Well, there's not a lot of them here. And, you know, they're an animal just like anything else. Some of them are going to die of natural causes. And we're surrounded by water, so we will have them. But anyway,
bald eagles are quite stupid as well.
Yeah, I think they're better at stealing food from other birds than they are at hunting it themselves. At least that's what I've been told. But I have watched several of them on occasions swoop down in a large lake we have in the middle of town that's also a park and snag fish out of it. So
nice.
It's pretty impressive to watch when you get a chance to see it. But that was my week. So what happened for you?
Nothing nearly as interesting, but some things that are equally as frustrating. So for those that don't know, I work in tech support now, but I've been in IT for the better part of 20 years. It's just, I don't know how I fell into this career. It's just sort of what I do. It probably comes from a love of solving puzzles. I don't know. But my current job, I'm working for a company that makes like backup alarms and light bars and strobe lights, things like that. We're a safety equipment company, right?
We've talked about that before. I think your company makes the stuff that's on my trucks.
Probably. We're everywhere. We're good. But at any rate, also, if you ever have to call a tech support number and it is my company, ask for... I'll give you my name later so you can ask for me.
Okay.
I don't want to say it on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
At any rate, for the past week, I have been dealing with, and now Bork is shooting at me, I have been dealing with a dude, okay? This guy's in Indiana. Not the brightest bulb I've ever talked to. But, I mean, he, like, knows his way around a truck kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So this guy, we've been going back and forth. He had some really, really old beacons and stuff on his rig, and they finally died. And so he got a hold of one of our distributors and was able, dang it, Bork won't leave me alone. Okay, now I'm jumping out. Anyways, he got a hold of some of our distributors and was able to get a hold of some new parts to replace his busted ones, okay?
Yeah.
Firstly, that distributor's catalog, the most recent one they had, was from 2016.
Mm.
So things we're not off may have changed.
Yeah.
Right. It was a smaller distributor. They haven't really been pushing our products, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And so the products this guy ended up with to replace the thing he had, they were LED, which was a step up from what he was using. He had bulb stuff. That's how old it was. But it was still a part that was from like 2017, 2018. It was an older, obsolete part that we don't even make, right?
Right.
And so that was a great start. And we went back and forth a few times. And finally, just to try and get him sorted, I sent him some newer lights, LEDs, directional flashers of the same like type, like grommet mounted ones like he had before. So he could just put those in and go on his way, right? Get right. The guy going.
Yeah, keep him going.
Because it had been like a week at this point. So he got those over the weekend, installed them. They didn't work either. And it took 3 more phone calls today to figure out that this Yahoo was trying to hook up LEDs to a part that was literally made also by us, but forever ago, to make bulbs flash. So all that that power supply does is provide pulsing power. That's all it does. And he was hooking LEDs, which require constant power up to that, and wondering why it didn't work. And that's my life.
Yeah. Sorry, dude, you're going to have to change out the whole system.
Yeah, at that point, I dropped that upgrade hammer. I'm like, dude, it's time. You just need to get a hold of your distributor. You need to get all new equipment. It's just, we don't have bulbs anymore. It's just, it's time, my man. We're going to drag you kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
Yeah, and that's a hard conversation.
He thought that was hilarious. He was a good sport about it, at least.
Oh, that's good, because sometimes that's a hard conversation to have with somebody.
It is, but you know what? Go check our competitors. They're more expensive. Good luck.
Well, but I know I go through this at work all the time, because we'll have, you know, some part on a playground break because it's been sitting in the sun for 25 consecutive years. And then, you know, my boss will be, well, what do you mean they don't make that part anymore?
It's like, technology marches on, right?
I mean, the playground is 25 years old. That company isn't even in business anymore. That's what I mean. That means it's time. So what are we going to do to fix it? We're not. We're going to bulldoze it and build a new one.
So I'll say who I work for, just because, I mean, they're a worldwide company. You could figure out who I work for if you wanted to. It's a company called Echo/Code 3. We do light bars, sirens, all that fun stuff, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I love my job so much, and I love the people I interact with so much, but sometimes I wonder what people are doing, because, like, for instance, the oldest light bar that I've ever gotten a call about was one of those old school, like 90s style ones. It literally had a manufacture date of 1999. And had the spinners in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was like, well, yeah, I'll get a new one, but I'm keeping this one just for the retro factor.
Yeah.
Try and fix it up.
This one's a souvenir. Yeah.
Oh, it's good stuff, though. I have fun.
Yeah, it's been a fun week all around. So yeah. I guess, for the people out there in podcast land who are listening, we're gonna do a squad update. We're going to hit a little bit on some exploration news, briefly touch some dev news. We don't have a lot to go over tonight because it's the holiday season. There's not a lot going on. And as you've probably already figured out, it's just me and Lark tonight.
It's the takeover.
It's the takeover. Yeah. You know, JN Trax is two-timing us with his other podcast. Chig is off at his daughter's Christmas conference, and Blooming Wind is on a plane to the Northeast to visit family, along with other people who are doing family things. So apparently me and Lark drew the short straw, and we're doing the holiday podcast.
Merry Christmas, you fecks.
And just a little piece of housekeeping, since I just reminded myself of it, since next Monday is Christmas, there will not be a Loose Screws podcast next Monday.
And if there is, that'll be a surprise to all of us.
It will be a surprise to all of us.
On Tuesday, we all look at our phones like, what the?
Yeah, where did that come from? I don't know. Maybe we can something later this week and put it out next week, but I'm not gonna bet on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't put your chips on that. No. Yeah,
probably shouldn't even have said it, but oh well, it's too late. Trax can take that out in post.
Yeah, put that out in the universe.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into a real quick squad update so we can tell everybody what's going on. We currently have a war going on in Darak. No, that is not a misstatement. Yes, that is like the fifth consecutive war in Darak.
Yes, we're tired of it.
Yes, we're tired of it. We do want to win that one. We have a war going on in Yen Ti. Yes, that is a repeat of prior
events. Oh, really?
Events.
That one I didn't know about.
Yeah, that is a Brotherhood of Terra Mater system, so we don't want to fight in it, or if we do, we want to fight for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have a war that is about to start in Calorum, which I really couldn't give a warm crap about. So fight in it if you want to. Ignore it at your leisure.
Oh. That was quite the image of how much you don't care about that.
Yeah, well, I'll mention something about that kind of at the end of the squad update without going into too much detail. So we currently have a pretty serious overheating issue going on in Lambda Andromeda, and an almost as serious one going on in Ross 310 and 6 Andromeda. There's several other systems, about 7 total, that are a little bit warmer than you want them to be. They're all listed in the standing orders posts. So if you want to go seal club us a little bit and reduce some influence, there's plenty of opportunities for that.
Hashtag bonk.
And I also wanted to mention, or we wanted to mention, Lark brought this up earlier too, that as we speak, Mining Mondays is going on. Volt has, this is I think the third or fourth week that Volt has done a Mining Mondays now.
Something like that. And people are having a blast. Even I'm up here to get some tritium or something, but they're in a rocky ring and I just realized there's no tritium there. Yeah. So now I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, they're in HIP 22357, Planet 7 Ring A. And I'm assuming they're platinum mining, but I did not read the post that closely.
Well, it was platinum, and then it was Alexandrite, and then it was Mosinite, and then Bork yelled at everyone, and now they're doing platinum.
Okay. And there's a handful of people up there mining. there was some talk earlier about a future Mining Monday being held in a Hazrez site, because, as I've mentioned, I think more than once, Hazrez's multiply the amount of yield you get from an asteroid.
Oh, really?
It's based on low, high, or has. And I think Hazrez is either a 75% increase or a 100% increase on the output from a rock. I forget which.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's pretty significant. Same amount of work, you get a whole bunch of extra, whatever you're lasering. With, you know, the caveat there is you have to deal with pirates. But if you're doing this as a whole group,
you can have some people there in like a crusader or something running cover.
Exactly. So you could be collecting bounties and mining at the same time.
Or you can do what I do and be in a T10 that's fully outfitted for mining and still has 4 large cannons.
Right. Cannons, of course. And so something else to keep in mind, and this is a distinction between laser mining and core mining. So you only blow up a core once. Doesn't matter how many people are there. The core gets blown up once. You abrade off the pieces, and that's that. Everybody who fires a laser at a rock generates fragments. So, you know, if I'm laser mining a rock and I generate 34 fragments, and then you follow along behind me and laser mine the same rock, you're going to generate 34 fragments.
Huh.
And the person that, who
that's
comes
a neat behind, mechanic.
And the person who comes behind you who laser mines the rock is going to generate 34 fragments. And if there's four or five of you lasering the same rock at the same time, there will be a cloud of fragments around that rock, and you'll watch collector limpets go crazy. But you can use that to your advantage, and you can actually have several people lasering while only one person is collecting. You can quickly fill up one ship at a time like that.
See, and the gremlin in me is like, hey, a cloud of fragments. It'd be a shame if a gigantic ship just drifted through them.
Yeah. Just did a power slide right through them.
That Deja Vu song from the racing anime starts playing.
Yeah.
T9 just...
So I glossed on this earlier when I was talking about war again in Dirac and Yen-T. There is, a small number of commanders. Three, maybe four or five. We know who they are. Who apparently have a serious axe to grind with us and have decided that their mission in life is to make life miserable for us by undermining as many systems of ours as they can. And generating wars and doing all sorts of other stuff. And they're doing it entirely in solo or in a private group, one of the two. Either way, they're not in open. And they have nothing of their own for which to attack. They apparently get their jollies by shitting on other people. And that's all I'm going to say about this at the moment.
For now.
For now, there may be a large pile of salt and the naming of names after Christmas. I'm not really sure yet.
We're just trying to keep it jolly.
We're trying to keep it jolly. And you know, there is some history here. We have in the past had contact with them. We have tried our damnedest to be nice, to find out what they wanted, and if possible, to let them have it. They apparently, like I said, get their jollies shitting on other people. So remains to be seen what's going to come of that. But there may be a Festivus-like airing of grievances after Christmas. So stay tuned. All right. Moving on. We do have exploration report news. And that is, after an extended tour of the nether regions of the galaxy, Commander Grover Kiwi is back in the bubble just in time for Christmas.
Yay!
Yay!
And those who haven't seen it, check out the screenshots or exploration channel. That man takes some beautiful screens.
Exactly. That's where I was going with this.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. He has dropped a load of nice pictures in the exploration channel. He has a real knack for framing a picture. And of course, Elite can really generate some gorgeous planetary screenshots. So cruise the Discord, check those out, give him a thumbs up. He's got some amazing shots in there. He really does. In dev news, we got the word this week that the holiday stream was officially canceled. No big surprise. We kind of saw that writing on the wall. I'm kind of hoping that after they finish with this round of layoffs and finish working out everything that's going on at FDev, they can kind of get back into a regular process of doing some of that stuff, because I think it is important to the community. But they're going through some stuff, and I'm sure we haven't heard the last of some of the people that aren't going to be there anymore. It's terrible that they do that right before Christmas, too.
Well, it is the end of the year, and if that's going to happen, it's going to happen at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I know this from experience, because when you're in IT, you get laid off a lot.
Yeah. So, update 17.01 dropped last week. That was just a patch for bug fixes. They didn't progress anything. I have heard a rumor that they also introduced a bug that can randomly cause system authorities to go hostile on some people. I cannot confirm that that bug actually exists, though.
So all we know about that bug is that it's happened to a couple people in our Discord. I can't remember whose names. I've also seen posts about it on Reddit, and that's literally all I know. And everyone describes it just a little bit differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I feel fairly confident in saying it's out there, but the exact details I just don't think have been nailed down yet. And this is where I interject my normal comment about their damn spaghetti code. They touched one thing and something else broke.
You know what? This far into the game, I'm going to say it's not that. That part isn't their fault anymore. That just is what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's because this engine, the Cobra engine, was developed obviously before the game came out. So that engine is somewhere around 9 years old, give or take.
Yeah.
It's got some miles on it, and I'm sure there is some technological debt there that has not been paid. And I think, you know, a good topic once we get everybody together back after the holidays is where we want them to go from here. And I'm pretty sure the answer is put it in maintenance mode and let's do Elite Four.
You mean five?
Five. Sorry.
Yes. If they do that, I would be okay with that as long as the story's finished out or at least brought to a natural end first. And B, if they use the Unreal Engine for the next iteration of it, because I honestly, at this point, I think that would do a better job than anything they can make. I'm not even kidding.
I'm not going to get into which engine is which because I'm grossly unqualified.
I also want to point out, because I haven't been mining forever, I'm watching Borked do some subsurface missiling to get some stuff out of an asteroid. And there was a little bug introduced forever ago that, like, only people mining and doing subsurface missiles would know this. When the missile starts drilling in, it puts out an impenetrable white cloud until it finally shoots out the fragment, and then it dissipates, and it's hysterical.
Every time
it hits the asteroid, it's just flashbang out. I'll take a screenshot for you.
Hot. This fucking game.
Oh, I love it so much.
And if people did not read the patch notes for U17, they have confirmed that U18 or update 18 is still going to happen, but they have not scheduled a date yet.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to get a date for that, I think, until after the new year when all of this redundancy and whatnot is settled.
Right. And I'm sure it probably won't be quite a ways into the new year, because I'm sure that after redundancy, they'll have to go back and actually complete some of the work with fewer staff. Love it, love it, love it. We've pretty much already covered everything we were going to discuss. For Chig Chat this week, we, of course, have to congratulate Jay and Trax on finally making Triple Elite.
Oh, he finally got there?
He finally got there.
Oh, my gosh. Good job, Trax. It's so good. Yeah,
just in time for Christmas. Just barely made the end of the year cut off to make Triple Elite. It's only been 5 or 6 years. He finally made it. So proud of him.
At this point, I kind of hope I never get Triple Elite until the game ends, just because that would be on brand for me.
Yeah. Which one do you still lack? Combat?
The combat. And I am halfway through Dangerous, so I still got a ways to go.
Look, your claim to fame when you finally hit Elite in combat is going to be, I did it all with cannons.
Yeah. Not only that, but I did it as the game ended.
Yeah.
Ah, I pissed off Bork that he launched himself in a fighter and is coming after me.
Never play in podcasts. It never works out. You always blow up.
Oh, I lied. It's Vault.
Oh, it's only Vault.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, so moving on to movie anniversaries for this week, and we're going to do this week and next week at the same time because we're not going to be here next week, and because, surprisingly, there are an awful lot of Christmas movies.
Oh, I'm dead.
No, that was not a Christmas movie.
Sorry, keep going.
All right, 10 years ago, on Christmas Day, The Wolf of Wall Street. How that's a Christmas movie, I'm not entirely sure.
It's not a Christmas movie. I don't even think there's a Christmas tree in it.
So 15 years ago, on Christmas Day, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Again, not sure how that's a Christmas movie.
I've seen that movie. It's a good movie, though.
Yeah. Also 15 years ago, also on Christmas Day, Marley and Me.
Screw that movie. bad movie. It's a very bad movie.
25 years ago today, so the week before Christmas, You've Got Mail, which was a seminal movie for the time, but probably doesn't carry the same weight today that it did then. Because email is so ubiquitous.
Right.
30 years ago, the end of this week, Philadelphia, which is a really amazing movie.
Haven't seen it.
Also 30 years ago, on Christmas Day, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Here's the strangest one on the list. 45 years ago, the end of this week, so not quite a Christmas movie, but a Christmas Eve movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's so not a Christmas movie. 50 years ago on Christmas Day, The Sting, which if you have not seen it, is a fantastic movie.
Nice.
It's a Robert Redford. It's an old style one of those. We got everybody in Hollywood to play bit parts. It's a con man movie. It's got a great soundtrack. It's a fun movie. Everybody should watch The Sting. 50 years ago, on the day after Christmas, so December 26, The Exorcist. Again, how is that a Christmas movie?
That is the most not Christmas movie I think
exactly.
I can
Exactly.
Between
that and Invasion of the Body Snatchers, I don't know which one is less of a Christmas movie.
I'm sitting here like, where is Die Hard? What is happening?
but Die Hard didn't come out this week.
Oh.
60 years ago on Christmas Day, The Sword in the Stone, Disney movie, fun movie.
I actually really like that movie.
Yeah. And 100 years ago this Thursday, The Ten Commandments, the first one.
Oh, dang.
The Cecil B. DeMille silent movie.
Oh, man, I've seen that one.
I think this is the first time since we started doing movie anniversaries that we've had a 100-year anniversary. I know we had 95 for Steamboat Willie, but I think this is the first 100.
Yeah, the only reason I've seen that movie is because when I rewatched the like 4 or 5 hour long one with an intermission that was made, I think, in the 70s or 60s. You know what I'm talking about?
It's, I believe, 55 or 56.
Yeah.
For the Charlton Heston one.
Yeah, that Charlton Heston, that was the name I couldn't remember.
Yep.
Because I went on a kick of when I rewatched that as an adult, I then also went on to rewatch Prince of Egypt and just for kicks went and watched a really, really old one that you were just talking about, the silent movie.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to lie, I fast forwarded through a lot of, but it was still all right if for what it is. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Yeah. But so yeah. That's some strange movies on that list. Some strange movies on that list for this time of year.
Yeah, those are not Christmas. Those are not Christmas movies.
If you had told me, if you had asked me, I never would have guessed that the Exorcist was a Christmas movie. I just would not have ever guessed that it came out at that time of year. If I had to guess, I would have said it came out around Halloween. But oh well.
And I am now attempting to land my SRV on Volt's T9.
So while you land your SRV on Volt's T9, we're going to land this show. So that is it for this edition of the Loose Screws podcast. If you like the show, please rate and review us on your podcast player, which helps people find the show. You can join us on Discord at discord.io/loosescrews. And you check out our merch store, which is being revamped even as we speak, at loosescrewsed.com. Mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, whole bunch of other stuff. New things are being added, new designs. We're actually going through the process right now of adding new stuff to that store based on what people have asked for. And if you want to, you can come and support us on Patreon. That money is what helps us put the show on, and anything that's left over, we're pouring back into the community. With things from the merch store and that type of stuff. So please support us. It really helps. Helps pay for the software that we do this with.
Another TFG moment real quick before we close out. So on Volts T9, he has the Explorer slash, what is that body kit called? The extreme condition body kit where you have like the lights and all the things that stick up real high.
Yeah.
Because it's his ship, he can't approach those as close as I can because they register for him, but they don't register for me. So I'm basically hiding in his body kit and he's very confused.
All right. And on that note, I'm Commander
Nurgle. TFG, y'all have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. That's Commander Larkshadow. Our time is done here. We thank you for yours.
Bye.